Welcome to the North Island Stand Conference. Great to see you all here, and I trust that you'll have just a great time over the next couple of days. Tomorrow we'll be more filled, so we'll need to keep squeezed up and close to one another. My name is Richard Cutforth. I am the pastor of this church. And so as Howick Baptist, we want to welcome you to this church. We want to serve you today this weekend, and we look forward to doing that and endeavouring to encourage you and build you up in the faith. A special welcome to Dr. Joel and Mary Beakey. It's just been fantastic to have them stay in our home for the last couple of days and get to know them, and it's just such a blessing for us and a privilege to have them join us there. We also are just so looking forward to Joel sharing the word and Mary tomorrow leading a seminar on the kindness of Jesus. It shines out of it. Our prayer, though, is that through this conference, we will get to know Jesus more and better and become like him. That's our desire. The theme of the conference is Jesus, the perfect resurrected counselor. And this evening, the hymns and the songs we pick up, that we will be singing, pick up that theme. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Around 10 to 15 years ago, I was looking through the sermon audio website, looking for some sermons to listen to, I think when I was going to go on holiday. I never like to just listen to one particular preacher. I like to listen to a number of preachers. So I found this guy called Joel Beakey, Dr. Beakey, on the sermon audio website. So I thought I would give him a try. And I enjoyed listening to him so much that I got onto his podcast. So I sort of got to know Dr. Beakey for some time, and even though we had never met. His books and his messages on family have been a blessing to so many people. There's just desire for to raise up godly people is just such an encouragement to me. And so it's my privilege to welcome Dr. Beakey and his wife Mary to this North Island conference, and invite them to come forward and so that we can give them a round of applause. So. I thought we'd just endeavour to get to know them a little. First of all, how long have you been in New Zealand for, and how have you enjoyed it?
It's been about a week and a half, and we've thoroughly enjoyed it. We used to say Switzerland was our favourite country, but now I think New Zealand is.
Yeah. Of course, you had to say that, didn't she?
Beautiful scenery here.
Yeah. They went. Where did you go to?
We started out in Queenstown and then went to Teano and Milford Sound and Mount Cook. And God gave us beautiful weather to see those beautiful sights. And then Christchurch, we were wonderful people there that hosted us. And then yeah. Wellington, Masterton, and now here.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Now, the amazing thing was when we went to Mount Cook and Milford Sound, those were just the 2 days it didn't rain. And it was beautiful weather in both places. And both guides at both places said, these were unusual days. And we were able to take a helicopter back behind Mount Cook and land on the glacier, and they let us out. It was phenomenal. If you've never done it, you've got to do it on a really beautiful day. And it was just impossible to keep my hands down. I just, just all around you is just this deep, deep snow, beautiful mountains. It's really stunning. It's how is it possible for someone not to believe in God when they're in that kind of scenery? It's amazing.
Yeah, the heavens.
You have a beautiful country.
The heavens declare the glory of God, don't they? Yeah. Tell us a little about your family. How long you've been married, and how many children you have, and whether you have any grandchildren.
Well, we're part of the reason for this trip is to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary, which is coming up, Lord willing, in August. Thank you. God has blessed us with three wonderful children, a boy and two girls, and they're all married, and they all live in our area, so we're very happy about that. And we have four grandchildren, so those are... If there's anything I don't like about this trip, it's being away from them. And three girls and one little boy, ages 3.5 and below, so they're just fascinating, and we love them dearly.
And we have three wonderful in-law children that we love like our own children. And it's, you know, it's just an amazing thing when your children grow up and you look at them and they marry God-fearing people, and you say, wow, the Lord, they're turning out better than the way we raised them. I mean, the Lord is that good to us. So we're very humbled by our family. And I mean humbled, because we don't deserve those kinds of blessings on our children. So we're blessed.
Many prayers answered.
That will be the foundation of many generations, we pray.
Pray.
Dr. Beaker, you just love the Puritans. What was it that created this interest in the Puritans, and why do you love reading the Puritans and thinking about them so much? Why are they so important for today?
Well, I came under conviction of sin, serious conviction of sin, when I was 14, and I turned to my dad's bookcase. Of course, I was reading the scriptures day and night, but I read the Puritans in my dad's bookcase. I read the whole bookcase late at night, and they were really, really food for my soul. I actually got more out of them than I did from the church I was going to at the time, and they were used by God to set my soul at liberty. So I've always felt burdened my entire life to spread Puritan teaching and preaching. And I do believe that when you read the Puritans, they challenge you, they exhort you, but they also encourage you to grow in Christ and to grow in holiness. And I find reading the Puritans to be actually the best means of spiritual discipline to profit my soul. So I always have at least one Puritan book going, but I read other books as well. But the Puritans, there's something special about them. They're so substantive, so rich, so spiritual. They challenge you on to grow in holiness more than you are.
They certainly convict you too, don't they?
They do. They do. You know, my dad used to always say to us as children, you know, being in church 3 hours a week is wonderful, and God blesses it, and that's your primary means of grace. But you really need to be reading the scriptures every day, but also reading good books on a regular basis, and look up the scriptural citations and immerse yourself in that. Because if you really want to grasp the Reformed faith and all of its nuances and riches, you've got to be reading and absorbing and marinating yourself in these great classics of ages past.
Can you recommend a Puritan book just for beginners?
Beginners, Thomas Watson, Heaven Taken by Storm. That's a great book, showing you how to use all the means of grace to walk with the Lord. Thomas Watson, in all of his books, he's very easy to read. We also have a series of books called Puritan Treasures for Today, where we've taken about a dozen Puritans and we've simplified them by just editing every sentence without changing the meaning, but so it reads like it was written yesterday rather than 400 years ago. So you might want to start with the Puritan Treasures for Today and then graduate to Thomas Watson, then John Bunyan, John Flavel, and work your way all the way up to Thomas Goodwin and John Owen.
That's a challenge for you.
Yeah, don't start with Owen.
As most of you are aware, Dr. Beakey travels to places all over the world. I think 25% of your time is traveling to conferences and so forth. What are some of the concerns that you see facing the church, especially in the West, and what are some positive signs that you see happening in the church?
Yeah, depends where you're talking about churches in the West. Right now, one of the most positive things that's happening is in South America. In the Spanish-speaking world, there's a really a substantive revival going on, and that's very, very exciting to me. Also in Brazil, Portuguese-speaking, in South America, there's some really exciting things going on. America is holding its own, I think. We have about 45% of the people in America attend church regularly. That's a pretty high percentage compared to many other countries. But when you go and do conferences and things, usually the attendance grows. Say if you go back 4 years later, it's growing. There's some encouraging things. A lot of people have found the Reformed faith, and they're excited about it, especially young people and young adults and young ministers. It's amazing how many young ministers are becoming solidly Reformed and see that this is the most biblical way of interpreting the Scriptures. The flip side is that a number of people, it seems to me, and this is my own assessment, have embraced the Reformed faith in terms of 5 points of Calvinism and so on, but haven't necessarily embraced the whole of the Reformed faith in terms of worship, in terms of promoting really godly worship, and also in terms of lifestyle. It seems that sometimes people have a little bit of an oxymoron here where they seem to embrace the 5 points of Calvinism and the Reformed faith soteriologically, but their lifestyle doesn't seem all that impacted, and they're still listening to worldly music and doing worldly things instead of really giving themselves wholly and solely for Christ. So in my mind, the jury is out. Also about new Calvinism and other movements that are going on in terms of will they come around and have a full Reformation, or will they just stop with the doctrines of grace? And what we have a lot of in America is people say, well, I'm saved by grace, praise the Lord, but then they don't really live it out, which is really an antinomian spirit, anti being against, and nomos meaning law, against the law. You say, I'm saved by grace, I don't need the law anymore. But grace sends us back to the law to live a godly life, and that's what's missing in many circles. So that's kind of a disappointing side so far. I hope it will keep going further, but it is refreshing, it is exciting to see so many people in the West really hunger and thirst after a closer relationship with God and to find the Reformed faith and really thrive under it. Yeah, it's in Brazil, but yeah, Africa too. There's a lot going on there. Europe is very, very dry. You can still do some wonderful conferences there, and people gather together, but it's very low percentages, mostly older people, and it's you got to really pray for Europe. I mean, the original Reformation happened in Europe, first and foremost, and it's just so sad how that candlestick seems to be being removed in large measure.
Just one final question to a young Christian who's just embraced perhaps the Reformed doctrines. What are some things that you advise this person in order that they might grow in maturity?
Well, certainly I mentioned one already, and that is be in the Word and be in some study group and really search the Scriptures and couple it with reading really good literature, most of the contemporary fluff. There are some contemporary good writers, but read stuff that really feeds your soul, makes you grow, challenges you, allures you, is winsome, is powerful. Get good preaching. Really devote yourself to the local church. Use the spiritual disciplines. Meditate. Don't just read the Bible and have a short prayer and go to sleep, but read one verse, as the Puritans would say, meditation is the halfway house between scripture reading and prayer. If you read a verse and you meditate on it for a minute, and then you pray over that one verse and go back and read the next verse, that's the way really to do your private devotions, I think. Scripture reading, meditation, prayer. But also get involved in the local church and give yourself to it and ask your pastor, you know, how can I help? You know, Christianity was never meant to be import only. It was meant to be import and export. So you want to get involved in the local church. You want to get involved in ministry. And the more you have export as well as import, the more robust and the more exciting, the more fulfilling your Christian life will be. And I think coupled with that is look around. If you're a new Christian, look around to see the most holy and godly people that you know of in the church and go befriend them. And go sit down with them and ask them questions, how they struggle with indwelling sin, how they grow in grace, and things like that. People who've been on the way a while and who know the ropes of the Christian life, so to speak, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, they have a lot to teach you. So Thomas Watson said, association begets assimilation. So when you associate with godly people, hopefully it'll rub off on you. Just like the Puritans said, show me a man's library and I'll show you who the man is. Show me a man's friends and I'll show you who the man is. And show me the way a man uses his leisure time and I'll show you who the man is or woman.